everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday afternoon. It is October the 8th, 2013. Hope you're having a good day. We are live each weekday, 12:04 to 1, right here on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice, also Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. We're streaming our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere, as we post and podcast to, again, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. All have our program available for you. We will launch this hour of the Buckmaster Show with journalist Alan Weissman talking about his new book, Countdown, Our Last Best Hope for a Future on Earth. Then certified financial planner Shelley Fishman joins us with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. 30 minutes past the hour, we'll meet the new director of the Reed Park Zoo. Then we'll close out the show with the Tucson Weekly Arts editor Margaret Regan with the Every Other Tuesday Arts Report presented by Fox Tucson Theater. If you have a question or comment, the Buckmaster Show live line is available for you, 790-2040. We also invite you to become a friend of the Buckmaster Show on our Facebook page. We are very easy to find. It's my name, Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Well, with a million more of us every 4.5 days on our planet, the planet that is, of course, not getting any bigger, it would seem prospects for a sustainable future seem to be in doubt. That's the contention of journalist and former University of Arizona journalism professor Alan Weissman, whose new book is titled Countdown, Our Last Best Hope for a Future on Earth, published by Little Brown and Company. Alan is the author of several books, including his bestseller in 2007. The book was on the human's impact on the planet. That book was titled and is titled The World Without Us, which was a finalist for the National Book Critics Circle Award. Alan, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you. It's great to be back in Tucson.
Tell me a little bit about why you decided to address the issue of the Earth's caring capacity, if you will, in your latest book.
Well, you know, my last book, The World Without Us, I did not write that because I want a world without humans. I'm a human. I'm married to one. My friends are humans. I wanted to see if readers would look at the vision of a world that would restore itself and refresh itself with surprising swiftness if it was relieved of our daily pressures, if we did disappear, and then ask themselves, how do we add ourselves back to this picture? But then I ran into that fact that you just recited. Every 4.5 days, we're adding a million people to this planet. It did not seem sustainable. Many people wanted to talk to me about that because I sort of left that question dangling at the end of The World Without Us. And finally, I realized it's such an explosive issue. People think of population control. They think of China and the one-child policy. Or they think that, you know, this is something that we need to do. It's a very, very polarized argument. So I decided that as a journalist, I had to go out there and find the facts and see, could we figure out how many people can fit on this planet?
You know, Alan, I thought population was really no longer a huge concern. After all, Japan, some European countries in Scandinavia, Italy, in the lower part of Europe, population has actually fallen below the replacement level. Those are the stories we hear about. Those are the countries we hear about and the declining population and their work shortage situation that they have in those countries.
Well, it's true. I went to 21 countries for this book because one of the things that I had to determine was if it turns out that we have exceeded the carrying capacity and the world is bursting at its seams because there are just too many of us expelling carbon dioxide and doing all the other things that we do. Is there something in the histories or the liturgies of all the world's cultures that might accept such a thing in a time of crisis? It turns out there is, even in our Judeo-Christian tradition there is, and in the Muslim tradition as well, and in virtually every religion. But it's a little misleading to think of just the highly developed countries' population coming down, because when we're really looking at a global ecosystem, we're looking at everybody. So if Italy's population growth has gone down and traditional Italians, then immigrants are coming in to pick up the slack for labor, and they're contributing to the same issues as someone who would be native born. So we really have to look at all the people on the planet. There's so many of us now that even the humblest of us in the very poor African and Southeast Asian countries, just by needing firewood and needing food and needing shelter, we're all contributing to a lot of stress on this planet.
Are you advocating a world where women are told how many children to have, like China's compulsory one-child-only policy?
No. I don't think that the way to solve this thing is through government at all. Nobody likes the Chinese policy. I spent a month in China. Most Chinese don't like the Chinese policy. But there are ways, and I go into them in this book. I went to several countries that realized for their own well-being, for the sake of their economy, they couldn't possibly keep supporting and employing so many people or feeding them all, that they had to do something about it. And they came up with some really intelligent voluntary programs that simply made it very desirable and attractive to people to have the number of kids that they can comfortably raise.
And what are some of those avenues that they pursued?
You know, the one that surprises everybody, particularly in this United States, in this country, is Iran. Iran, after the revolution, they were immediately invaded by Saddam Hussein. And at first, they asked every Iranian woman who could get pregnant to help build a 20 million man army to fight off these invaders.
In a war that went on 7 or 8 years at least, as I recall.
Yeah, and at the end of 8 years, they had this huge population boom, and they realized they'd never be able to employ all these kids when they got, you know, to be 10 years older. And a nation filled with underemployed or unemployed, frustrated young men becomes a very unstable country. I mean, it becomes Pakistan, which is another country I went to for this book. So the Iranians did four things. The Ayatollah issued a fatwa saying there's nothing in the Quran that says if you have the number of children that wisdom dictates you can care for, nothing says you can't use birth control if you choose. They didn't tell anybody how many children to have. But the one compulsory thing was premarital classes, which is a nice thing to do, frankly, before you get married. And the Quakers do it here in the United States. Yeah. And among the things that they talked about was how much does it cost to raise a kid, feed him, clothe him, educate him, etc. Well, Iranian women knew that they didn't want to be saddled down with so many kids, particularly because – and here was the most brilliant thing they did. They encouraged women to stay in school because a woman who's in school – defers her childbearing until she's done with her studies usually. And then once she's out, she's got something interesting and important and economically helpful for her family to do, which you can't do with seven kids on your apron strings. So that plus making every kind of contraceptive available to everybody in the nation brought them to replacement rate, which is two people, you know, have two children, a year faster than China's one-child policy. And I spent 2 weeks in Iran, and this is what you see. People choose. Occasionally you see a family with three, but most of them have two or one.
We're speaking with Alan Weissman, journalist. I guess you would call yourself an environmental journalist. Is that safe to say?
You know, I'm fortunate that I've covered so many things in my career because, you know, being a journalist, you get to look at the stuff that interests you. And, you know, a lot of people here in Arizona know one of my early books, La Frontera.
About the border.
Yeah, United States border with Mexico. Mm-hmm. But more and more, I found that the environment underlies all our stories. And when I'm writing about economics or if I'm writing about society, international relations, it all is determined about, you know, what's going on the planet. I mean, look, this book starts in Israel and Palestine where you've got these two populations that are trying to outpopulate each other to be the majority. And this is a very water-poor part of the world. And, you know, those Israeli settlements on the West Bank, they're on top of wells. They're on top of that aquifer. You know, they're not going to give them up very easily because when it boils down to it, it's a resource war. It has been since biblical times.
The book is Countdown. Alan Weissman is the author of the book. He is the author of the national bestseller, The World Without Us. Alan, what would you like our listeners to, if they do, and I hope they do pick up the book, what would you like them to take away from it?
Well, we put a lot of stress on the environment, and we're trying hard to come up with cleaner ways of making energy, but you know, that requires technological leaps. This is something we already know how to do. If we made contraception universally available in the world and let people decide if they want to use it or not, the price of that would be less per year than the United States was spending in Afghanistan and Iraq per month for the past decade. This is eminently affordable, and it doesn't involve any new technology. We know how to do it.
And you're not saying and dictating family size to people.
Let people decide for themselves. The majority of people are going to have two children or fewer. And if people really want a large family, you know, one resource that has never been scarce is homeless children. Adoption is a beautiful way to take care of that.
Alan Weissman, thank you very much. I do want to mention that you will be discussing and taking questions about the new book, Countdown, this afternoon at 5:30 at the Center for Creative Photography on the University of Arizona campus. Alan, good luck to you, and thanks. Good seeing you.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Thanks a lot. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com. The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques, in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Chance plays a big part in today's world. There's a 5% chance you were born with an extra rib, a 12% chance we'll have a solar megastorm in the next decade, and a 20% chance that if you got in a road accident in Sweden, it was caused by an elk. Well, Cox Business understands that chance has no place in running a small business. Get business internet and phone for just $99 a month and enjoy the 100% certainty that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's right. You get 100% certainty with phone features like on-the-go voice manager and internet speeds faster than basic DSL. Plus, 100% confidence with service that's been honored with the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with small mid-sized business wireline service. Make the switch today and get some certainty in an otherwise uncertain world. There's now a 99% chance this commercial is over, except for the legal.
Offer ends 12/31/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Must be claimed within 30 days of service activation. Other conditions apply. For J.D. Power Award information, go to jdpower.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. Shelley, how are you today? You've got a big smile, medium smile.
Oh, big frown.
Big frown. Yeah. Again,
market's
another down.
Down again, you know.
The market's been going down.
You put all
down,
this uncertainty
down.
In the marketplace, and guess what happens?
8 or 9 days of down.
Well, we've had 1 or 2 pop-ups during that period of time, but that's when the market really kind of believed that sanity would prevail, and it doesn't appear that that's going to happen.
Well, a lot of investors are very concerned. Of course, everything now is all it's kind of being co-mingled with the debt ceiling, with the affordable health care. All these issues are coming together.
Right. The uncertainty about the debt ceiling is probably what's doing most to push down markets. And the issue here is now that we're also seeing reductions in the bond markets. And the reason is that investors are demanding higher yields to invest in something that they have no particular certainty is going to be absolutely as dependable next month as it was last month. And we've got some auctions coming up. We've got a 3-month auction, a 3-year auction coming up. We've got a 10-year and I think a 30-year coming up over the next couple of weeks. I don't track the auctions, but the government needs to continue to raise money from the world market in treasuries. And if for whatever reason we can't guarantee that we will in fact be able to meet our obligations, then, you know, Russia and China and Japan, et cetera, are going to want higher rates of returns during this period of uncertainty, and that drives everybody's bond prices down.
Yeah, and I keep hearing some talk show hosts talking about the fact that this shutdown, well, they say 87% of the federal government is working and it's no big deal. Well, it is a big deal if you're invested.
It's a big deal regardless, Bill. I mean, anybody who says it's not a big deal is lying to you and lying to the public. It is a very, very, very big deal, not because Jack Lew says it's a very big deal, but because the world markets say it's a very big deal. And because history, every time this has happened, says it's a big deal. Rand Paul does not know what he's talking about, and you shouldn't listen to him. He's absolutely wrong. If we go into default, not only can we not pick and choose what bills we're going to pay and what bills we're not going to pay, but we will start not paying bills. We'll start not making interest payments. We'll start not being able to issue new debt because it'll be too expensive. We'll start stopping Social Security payments and other payments. This is not something that we can do. And the tax revenues that come in do not get anywhere near where we need to be.
Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. With Shelley, with the Affordable Care Act, certain adjustments are going to have to be made in the market.
Yeah.
We had Dr. Mazes on the program last week from the Center for Integrative Medicine at the U of A, and I think one of the callers was saying, well, we're losing doctors.
Well, yeah, that's what he was saying. And, and it is true that we have a shortage of primary care physicians.
Right.
Don't think there's any connection between the Affordable Care Act and that. That's been happening for a while as doctors go into more higher-paying specialties. However, there are several real potential shortages of bringing 26 million people out from the emergency room and into doctors' offices. Remember, we're going to have an additional 20 or 30 million people with health care insurance. They don't have Obamacare, Bill. They have health care insurance from any of the major carriers who offer it in their states. That's what they have. And some of these people, most of them, will begin to show up not in the emergency rooms, but in doctors' offices. And they're going to call the doctors that are available on the plan, and they're going to say, are you taking new clients, new patients?
And can I make an appointment?
And can I make an appointment? And these doctors are going to get backed up. And what's going to happen is there's going to need to be adjustments in the market. What's going to happen is at an accelerated pace, the kinds of things we've been seeing in the market over the past couple of years. For instance, you'll see nurse practitioners in retail outlets so that you can get a checkup or a flu shot or whatever in drugstores and supermarkets.
Or in our Pima County library system, which is has nurse practitioners now that are making the rounds of the nearly 30 branches of the library, and they've already won kudos for this program on a national level.
And that's the kind of adjustment the marketplace is going to need to be making over time as we bring an additional 10 or 15% of the population into the insurance family. You'll see physicians' assistants, PAs, in more doctors' offices. And the intake, you know, is all now computerized for the most part. They will be doing that kind of thing. They'll be doing the routine checkups. The primary care physicians will be seeing the patients who need to be seen by a physician, and then, of course, referred out to specialists where that's appropriate. Same thing with clinics. Clinics which have been providing primary care for many people will now, as Medicaid expands in most of the states where Medicaid will be expanding, including in Arizona, there's going to be several hundred thousand more people covered under Medicaid. They'll be showing up at clinics, and you know, clinics are going to have to make adjustments. This is all good news, Bill. I mean, this is not bad news, but it does mean that there is going to be, you know, some adjustments in the marketplace that is going to have to, you know, take place as we are moving away from emergency rooms and to these more orderly kinds of places. Now, in a desperate situation, people who need to get in and can't get in will go exactly where they've been going, to the emergency room. It's not the most efficient way, but that's always there for them. And under Obamacare, there's no change in that.
Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. Shelley, getting back to our impending, and I hope it is not a default, that is coming up. And when you are with us 1 week from today, we'll know a lot more because the deadline is the end of next week.
Yeah, 17.
You're telling your clients what?
I'm telling my clients who have cash positions to hold on to the cash for now, and we'll make adjustments after we know with more certainty where we're going. For those clients who truly believe that we're going to be seeing large decreases in the market or large losses in the market, there are strategies for that. They're somewhat risky, but some clients are shorting certain positions, or they're putting in purchase orders for lower prices to take advantage of the downturns. There's ways of making money. You know, they say bulls make money and bears make money. Only pigs don't make money.
Certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. Shelley, what's the best way for folks to find you?
Well, there's two ways, Bill. One is thebuckmastershow.com. The other is to go to shelleyfishman.com. And I'm saying that because I'm working hard on that site and want to make sure that people who go there do get a good experience.
And you're trying to cultivate that site and
make
it a friendly place to go, just like you're a friendly guy and always willing to talk with people. And your phone number is available again at buckmastershow.com, which will link up to Shelley. Shelley, have a great rest of the week.
You too, Bill. Thanks
a lot.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. Investment and insurance products are not NCUA insured, not credit union guaranteed, and may lose value.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama says he has told House Speaker John Boehner he's willing to negotiate with Republicans on their priorities, talk about a wide range of issues, but the president says he will not do so under the threat of economic chaos, a reference to the partial government shutdown that's now in its eighth day. The president's just wrapped up a White House news conference. As the government moves closer to possibly defaulting on its debt, stocks falling again on Wall Street, investors are worried that the government will not be able to pay its bills, including interest on its debt, as early as next week if Congress doesn't raise the nation's debt ceiling. And looking at those Wall Street numbers right now, the Dow down about 94 points, the NASDAQ Composite Index is off 62, and the S&P 13 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time-clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Limited time offer.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It makes a great weekend getaway. Only three and a half hours east of Tucson. A little bit cooler, and after the summer rains, I think a little greener than the Tucson area. They had a lot of good rain
Historic Silver City, so much to do over there in Silver City, including this weekend. If you love the arts, and I know many of our listeners do, the Red Dot Gallery Weekend Tour is this weekend in historic Silver City, which was named one of the 100 best arts communities in the United States. Please visit their website, southwestnewmexico.org. That's spelled out. They have the complete list of great places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge and Spirit Canyon Lodge and all the other great places on that website, again, in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Right in our own backyard, we have the Reed Park Zoo, very popular attraction here in the Tucson area. There is a new zoo administrator, Jason Jacobs. He is with me now in studio. Jason, congratulations on your new position coming over from the Los Angeles Zoo.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, and it's great to be here with you this afternoon, Bill.
Tell me a little bit about your background. We were speaking just briefly before the interview. You've always really been into zoos. That's safe to say.
I have. Ever since I was a kid, I've always known what I've wanted to do. And it's you know, first I wanted to be an elephant keeper. But as I got a little older, I decided I wanted to run a zoo, you know, like the Dr. Seuss book. And I started volunteering at the zoo in Miami. I was very fortunate to start there at a very, very young age. They hired me eventually, and in addition to working at Zoo Miami, I was on the opening crew of Walt Disney World's Animal Kingdom. I worked for the zoo in South Bend, Indiana, the Los Angeles Zoo, and now Reed Park Zoo. You kind of have to move around to move up in the industry, and I'm very happy to be the director of the Reed Park Zoo. It's a great honor.
You were first introduced, I guess, to the Reed Park Zoo because you're so much into zoos and wildlife. I understand you plan your vacations around visiting areas that have the wildlife. And you came here in the winter of 2009, checked out the Reed Park Zoo, met with the then administrator, Zoo Administrator Susan Bassford, who is now retired. And what was your impression of the Reed Park facility?
I was blown away because it's not the largest zoo in terms of area, but to go to a zoo like Reed Park in terms of space and see not only, you know, elephants, but rhinos and bears and lions and tigers and giraffes. And when I was there, the education center was brand new. And looking at the depth of programs and the dedication of the staff and the conservation programs, I was really blown away, and I said to a colleague of mine who works at the zoo, I said, gosh, you know, if your director ever goes someplace, I'd apply for that job. And lo and behold, 4 years later, I do believe everything happens for a reason. I mean, I love going to visit other zoos and aquariums and animals in the wild. Some of my friends affectionately call me a zoo nerd or a zoo geek.
So this is your dream job, let's face it, Jason.
It is, and I have to say I'm lucky. I tell people, find what you're passionate about and get paid to do it, and the money will come. Don't worry about that. But if you like sleeping, find a job that pays you to sleep. But I like zoos and I like animals, and what I like more is making that connection between our visitors and the animals and the natural world. And I think we do a wonderful job at that at Reed Park Zoo.
Expedition Tanzania, a really fine elephant exhibition space. How does it compare to other zoos?
It is a top exhibit. You know, the trend in elephant exhibits is that you see these larger areas being built that can accommodate herds and animals of youngsters, aged animals, the bulls, which can be challenging to manage, with protective contact, which means our staff never really go in with the elephants. They manage them through operant conditioning and positive reinforcement. And if you look at the zoos in the last decade that have built these massive new facilities like San Diego, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., Oklahoma City, Reed Park is the smallest zoo by far to have made that commitment to elephants to the future. We not only show elephants, we empower our guests to make a direct donation to contribute to conservation programs for elephants in the wild. And I think it's important. I think viewing the elephants at Reed Park Zoo is a magical experience. And I almost get teary-eyed when I see our elephants interacting as a herd, so similar to how elephants act in Africa. I've been to Africa several occasions, and it's amazing.
Jason Jacobs, Zoo Administrator Reed Park, is with us on the Buckmaster Show. We've got the grizzly bear cubs, Ronan and Finley. How are they doing?
They're settling in quite well. You know, Ronan and Finley were taught some bad bear behavior from their mother, unfortunately, breaking into people's barns and stealing grains, raiding trash cans. And when bears associate people with food, that can be very dangerous. So we were fortunate. They were very fortunate. We were able to provide them a forever home at Reed Park Zoo, and they're settling in quite well. But, you know, there's a lot of adjustment for them. They've never seen gates or doors right. or locks. And so the animal care staff has done a tremendous job acclimating these animals. They've the curatorial staff, the vets, the keepers have done an amazing job also refurbishing the habitat, the former polar bear habitat for the grizzly bears. And the education department has made some wonderful graphic interpretives that talk about how to camp safe when you're camping with bears. We don't have grizzly bears in Arizona, but we certainly have black bears here. So there's a lot of good messaging about living with bears.
Jason, you have great plans for the zoo. What are some of the things you've got for your vision?
My vision, I'd like us to be, I tell people, the best zoo we can be in our 24 acres.
It's a well-visited zoo.
It is. We had over 600,000 visitors last year, making us one of the top 50 zoos in terms of attendance. Our attendance was greater than zoos that are much larger than us in much larger cities, because I think we provide a really great quality experience for our visitors. We have great habitats for our animals, and we do a lot for our animals and our visitors. And to me, I want us to be the most interactive we can be, and to be the best zoo we can be. We don't have to be 100 acres to have a great zoo. We're excellent on 24 acres.
You're talking about a hippopotamus exhibit?
That's one of the things that we've been talking about in the future, is a hippopotamus exhibit where you can view hippos underwater. We need to build a new vet hospital to accommodate the animal collection and the really good animal health program.
For all of your animals to be serviced there.
And there's some other things that I have in the back of my mind that I think we could add, which we're not ready to talk about yet. But there's a lot of great things going on right now between the new grizzly bear cubs. We just opened at Habitat for Black and White Ruffed Lemurs. So there's always something new at the zoo. You're always going to see a new behavior or a new animal. And it's just a great place to go to escape from the real world sometimes.
Well, Jason, this is an animal-friendly community. This is a very animal-friendly show, the Buckmaster Show. In fact, one of our organizations we've taken under our wing is Tucson Wildlife Rescue Center, and they're trying to build a state-of-the-art hospital for all of the injured wildlife. So people care about wildlife in this community, and we're trying to make a big effort, even when it comes to dogs and cats, with the Pima Animal Control Center, trying to get their adoption rate up. So I think what I'm trying to say to you, and you've probably already discovered this, people do care about animals
they
in this community.
They do tremendously, and we wish the Wildlife Center great luck in completing their health center. I know we're donating something for their fundraiser coming up also.
Well, let's talk about your big fundraiser. Here we've got Zeuscon. 20th anniversary of Zeuscon. Celebrating 20 years.
Yeah, that's coming up this Saturday night, October 12th from 6 to 9 p.m. That's done by the Reed Park Zoological Society, our nonprofit support organization. And a lot of what you see at the zoo is the great benefits of the partnership between the city of Tucson, which owns and operates the zoo, and the Zoological Society.
Folks should go to the website to get more information, readparkzoo.org.
Yep, that'll give you all the information.
How about for kids, Halloween?
Halloween. Halloween.
Halloween, yeah.
Yeah, the oh, but there we don't have wolves at the zoo. But that's coming up October 25th, 26th, and 27th, those evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. It's the best Halloween experience for kids here in the Tucson area. You can get dressed up and trick-or-treat, meet some costume characters, and see the zoo decorated.
I think you've really inherited a great staff over there, too. We've interviewed lots of your staff members, and I think that the people over there just really, really care.
They are an excellent staff.
I mean, that's a huge thing for you coming in, you know, the new boss, but you've got good people.
I've inherited, and really, Susan Bassford, the previous mm-hmm. zoo administrator, left the zoo in an amazing – I mean, I have big shoes to fill, but the staff and the collection and the programs are what swayed me to move from Los Angeles to Tucson. It's an excellent zoo. And you know, as a zoo administrator, you can only be as so good as your staff is. You have to have that staff to take care of the animals, take care of the visitors, and everything else will fall into place.
All right. It's just like this show. Without Rosemary Brandt, my ace producer, well, we'd be in big trouble, folks. Got to have good people, right, Jason?
They're necessary.
Jason Jacobs is the new administrator at the Reed Park Zoo. We thank him for being with us, and we'll look forward to speaking with you often.
It'd be a pleasure.
Thanks a lot.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient, it can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Under the glowing glass of brilliant light, experience UA Biosphere 2 Discovery Nights. For the first time ever, premiering the wonders of Biosphere 2 at night with extended hours. Beginning Saturday, September 28th, join us for five straight Saturday nights for an exciting family adventure with activities that promote curiosity and creativity. Receive a free annual pass with nighttime adult admission. Kids 12 and under are free. Limit 2 per adult. Visit b2science.org for more event details.
In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com.
The Every Other Tuesday Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show is sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, presenting Spank, the 50 Shades of Parody tonight. This hilarious new comedy brings the naughty fun of the best-selling book to life. Your inner goddess, will be laughing out loud as the sharp-witted characters delight and surprise as they delve into some atypical subject matter. Spank, the 50 Shades parody tonight. To view the full Fox Theater schedule and to purchase tickets to see Spank, call 547-3040 or visit foxtucson.com. Let's welcome now the host of the Every Other Tuesday Buckmaster Arts Report, Margaret Regan, who is the arts editor of the Tucson Weekly and our contributor on the Buckmaster Show on Arts. Margaret, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. How are you?
Doing real well. Good to talk with you again. I want to talk a little bit about your Tucson Weekly story this week, and it's Ballet Tucson, the season opener.
Yeah, this is very exciting. You know, Tucson has one professional ballet company, and they've been paying their dancers, hiring pros from around the country for 10 years, which is really kind of an amazing track record when you consider that the economic recession was right in the middle of those 10 years. You know, they've been around for 28 years, 10 years as a professional company, and they're celebrating that this weekend with their season opener concert.
It's the 10th anniversary? No, it's the 28th anniversary.
Well, they've been around for 28 years in various guises. They were just a regular unpaid troupe and with a lot of kids in it until 10 years ago when they figured out how to do it professionally and hire dancers around the country and actually pay them. So it's very high-quality performance that you see with them.
And there will be two premieres?
Two premieres. One of them is Seven Dances to the Popular Music of Cole Porter. And at the Friday night show only, they have five shows all weekend, but Friday night only, we're going to see A Local Girl Made Good. That's Margaret Mullen, who is a beautiful dancer with Pacific Northwest Ballet, who was trained right here in Tucson at Ballet Tucson, and now she's gone on to this very great ballet company. She's coming back down to dance one of the Cole Porter dances. That'll be fun to see her. And then the other one is kind of a mythological piece called Gemini, about the two twins who are now living in the sky as part of the constellation Gemini.
Mm-hmm.
And more popular is Dracula. We're going to have a reprise of this very popular ballet from a few years back, 45 minutes long with vampires and vampire bites and ladies in pretty dresses. So that should be a lot of fun.
Just in time for Halloween.
Exactly.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Stevie Eller Theater over on the U of A campus. I like that facility. It's a nice venue.
It's very nice. It's a beautiful place to see dance.
Opening at Live Theater Workshop this week.
Yeah, Souvenir. You may have seen this play before. ATC did it about 6 or 7 years ago. It's a very funny play based on a true story of a woman around the turn of the century, Florence Foster Jenkins, who had a truly horrible operatic voice, but somehow managed to have a career, I guess sort of as a joke attraction. And so that's the joke of the whole play, that she's there singing, and she could not sing on tune, but people flocked to see her.
ATC did this play a few years ago, didn't they?
That's right, yeah. I would say 6 or 7 years ago, ATC did a very nice production.
We have music, An Evening of Pink Floyd.
Yeah. Now, if you liked them back when you were a college student, Bill, you can see their music, which was always very orchestral, if you remember.
Oh, yes.
Dense, layered sound. Well, the Tucson Symphony Orchestra is playing, I guess, the entirety of one of their albums called Dark Side of the Moon at the Fox on Friday night, and then some hits from The Wall, which is another one of their best-selling albums. So there will be a rock and roll ensemble playing with the orchestra, and those are called Jeans and Classics.
You know, that's really becoming a trend where orchestras and symphonies around the world kind of team up with some of the older rockers to put together these shows. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of a group called Procol Harum. They had that big hit, Whiter Shade of Pale, back in my day. Well, they play all over Europe with different orchestras. So this is kind of a trend that's happening all over.
Well, you know, our own Calexico has played with orchestras around the country, too. I'm guessing, you know, it's an interesting combination in general, but I'm guessing it's an effort by the orchestras to attract a younger audience.
There you go.
Yeah, which is always the issue with arts organizations nowadays.
Margaret Regan is with us. This is the Every Other Tuesday Arts Report presented by Fox Tucson Theater. And Margaret, I want to talk a little bit about art. Seeing the Santa Ritas, I'm going to have to check this show out. This is at the Drawing Studio, 33 South 6th Avenue. This looks like it's something really to take in.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting thing. They had an opening last Saturday night that I went to that, you know, they kind of talked about the background for it. The Drawing Studio, obviously, is a teaching organization as well as an art gallery, and they specialize in plein air landscape. And so they take their students out into the beautiful areas of southern Arizona. So landscape painter Bettina Fink, one of the teachers, she has taken her students down to the area in the Santa Ritas that will be affected, and affected rather badly, by the proposed Rosemont mine. So they went down there, and there's public land around the private land where the mine will be if it's approved, and they painted and drew the land that will disappear if it becomes the massive open pit mine that's planned. So it's something to see, because most of us can't get in there too easily. I guess they went in there on forest roads from Route 83. And also part of the show are spectacular photographs by a guy named Josh Schachter, who does a lot of good-hearted projects around town. He does a lot of work with refugee children and teaching them to make photographs. But he went down there and made spectacular photos of the land that would be impacted, as well as photos of the animals that would be endangered.
And that show is up through October 26th at the Drawing Studio. And, of course, one of the iconic festivals, probably the iconic festival in Tucson, is Tucson Meet Yourself. This is a huge occasion because it is the 40th anniversary. The founder, Big Jim Griffith, was on the show a week or so ago talking about some changes with the show, making it a bit more compact, a little more easy to navigate, but it should. It's always fun, and of course, the nickname is Tucson Eat Yourself.
Yes, and you remember Big Jim tried to change the name of it a few years back.
I do remember that.
The Tucson Heritage Festival, and everybody said, what?
What?
So we've got back our beloved Tucson Meet Yourself, and it's quite interesting. You know, Jim is such a great guy, and, you know, when he retired, he made sure that they got a very dynamic leader, which they do have in Maribel Alvarez. I don't know if you've ever met her.
I have. Interviewed her a couple times.
Oh, okay. So like Jim, a professional folklorist with a PhD, and her idea is to make this basically a year-round operation. They have a website. They do a lot of writing about folk arts in southern Arizona year-round. It's a celebration. And then just once a year, we have the giant festival. One of the things that's interesting to me as a visual arts critic is that they have gone very far in the direction also of visual folk arts, which did not really used to be a part of it. So I made a little list to tell you of some of the unusual folk arts that we'll be seeing. African American hair styling.
Oh boy.
It's a very broad definition, which is fun.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Arabic calligraphy.
Mm-hmm.
Chicano murals, of course, we're all familiar with those. But how about Congolese dressmaking by a Congolese seamstress?
Wow.
Navajo rug weaving and an Indian wedding ceremony, henna. You know, in India, they decorate the brides elaborately with sort of henna tattoos. So not only are we going to be seeing all the wonderful music and dance that we have always seen, but we get to see these kinds of folk arts, too. So it's a very ambitious enterprise, apart from being a really great place to go and eat all weekend long.
Go there with an empty stomach, for sure. Margaret Regan, thank you very much. We'll look for your arts pieces in the Tucson Weekly. Thank you, Margaret.
Thanks, Bill.
This week's Our Every Other Tuesday Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show is sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, presenting the Eden Reichel Project. That will be tomorrow night. The Eden Reichel Project burst onto the global music scene back in 2003 as a collaboration of musical artists from different generations, ethnicities, and cultures. The spectacular live show has enhanced audiences worldwide. See keyboardist and composer Idan Reichel at the Fox tomorrow night. To view the full Fox Tucson Theater schedule and to purchase tickets to the Idan Reichel Project, call 547-3040 or visit foxtucson.com. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Thank you, Culligan, for your support of the Buckmaster Show. Coming up this afternoon, 3 to 5, it's the John C. Scott Show. Then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. The Buckmaster Show back with you for our midweek edition tomorrow at 12.04 to 1. We're here live each weekday. Hope you'll be with us. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.